chapter 11 as we continue our journey through this book together. Today we come into the 11th chapter, which is really a continuation of the events of chapter 10. And if you were not here last week and didn't hear last week's sermon, I'd encourage you to go onto the website and to listen to that, because today is really going to be a continuation, part two of last week. And it will kind of make sense more to you if you heard last week's. But or any time that you're not here, or even if you want to go back and listen to something from previous series that were done years ago, like back Revelation or the ones on heaven, I want to thank George Amelikon, who took hours and hours of time to go back and to categorize and to archive all the sermons from the past years and to put them all on the website. So you can find anything from all the past years and all the themes, all the series, they're all there. Right, George? You can just go on and find anything that you've missed or anything you want to listen to again. So thank you, George, for doing that. But I really appreciate that. So as we come to the scripture today, Acts chapter 11, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. The apostles and brothers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. And they said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Peter began and explained everything to them precisely as it happened. "I went to the city of Joppa. I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth with wild beasts, reptiles, and birds of the air. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, then it was pulled up into heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying, and the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me when we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message from which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if he gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could oppose God?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life." Here to read him God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for its truth. I pray that you would open our hearts to your word this morning as we've come together to hear from you. We've come together to meet with you, and we thank you that your word is revealed and inspired by your Holy Spirit. You are the author. And Lord, your Holy Spirit takes it and helps us to understand your truth to us. So Lord, give us ears to hear today what you have for us. Speak to us and challenge us in areas, Lord, where we need to be, where our thinking, Lord, may need to be realigned with you and with the truth of your word, so that we may be the men and women of God with the hard attitude that you want us to have. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. Have any of you ever read the instructions on a shampoo bottle? I hear you laughing. You must have. The instructions on a shampoo bottle say, "Wash wet hair, wash, lather, rinse, repeat." And I've always wondered, how many times are you supposed to keep repeating it? How many times? Anybody, Sally, you know? How many times are you supposed to keep washing, rinsing, lathering, and repeating if you follow those instructions? Makes me wonder. What's that, Thelma? Until you don't get any more suds. But then you repeat it again. How often? Many times. Well, that's what God is doing this morning. Last week, he had shared with us the account, Luke had shared with the account of what happened with Peter and the salvation of Cornelius, the first Gentile believer. And we had seen how God had worked, and God had worked in Peter's heart to move him to go into Cornelius's home where he had been praying and seeking God. And we had learned from Cornelius that he was a God-fearer. He worshiped God, but he didn't know him. And he did a lot of good things for him, but he was missing something. He was missing Jesus. And we had seen how God had orchestrated the events to get Peter to go to his home and the struggle that it took for Peter to do that. Because the mindset that he had, the Jews did not associate with Gentiles, and that salvation was for the Jews alone. And we had seen that God had sent Peter a vision of this sheet being let down from heaven with all different kinds of animals on it. And the voice said, "Peter, rise, kill and eat." And we saw from last week, Peter said, "I can't do that. I can't eat that because that's unclean." And we learned last week that God said we cannot call unclean those who God has called clean, because his heart was with all people. And his heart is that salvation is not just for a few, but it's for all who will. Not just for the Jews, but all are welcome. And so we've seen the story last week as that account is recorded and we share together in that. But today in chapter 11, as it opens up, Luke shares the story again. Because he tells us as Peter goes back to Judea, to the church at Jerusalem, they heard what had happened to Cornelius. And they had heard that this Gentile had now become a Christian and a believer, and he received the Holy Spirit. And they heard about that, and report got back to Jerusalem church even before Peter got back there. And when he got back there, you would think that they would be happy. You would think that they would be rejoicing over the fact that Gentiles are now part of the family of God. But what was their response as chapter 11 opened? What did they do when Peter arrived? Anybody? It said they what? They criticized him. And they said, "How dare you? How could you go into the home of an uncircumcised Gentile? How could you do that, Peter? You know that's against our tradition." And so Peter then shares the story again of what happened and how God had brought the events to the salvation of Cornelius. You say, "Well, why is it in here again?" I think the reason why the Holy Spirit has it in here again is because when God says something one time, it's important. Right? If he says something once, it's important for us because he put it down in the scripture, important to know. But if God repeats something and says it again, do you think we better take notice? If he repeats the same thing again, it's because we didn't get it the first time. And it's important. He wants to make sure we know. And the church was struggling in the early days. And even today, the church was struggling with accepting people that were not like them. And they had a hard time accepting people outside who were not Jewish. And so the story was repeated. And the Holy Spirit said to Luke, "Put it in here again. So we get it. That my message is for all people." Cornelius' salvation. Share it again so that we know and get the message. So from this, I believe, as we can look at the today, that we need to have our thinking corrected, because the church at Jerusalem had wrong thinking. And we as well, as believers and as Christians, can have wrong thinking too. No? No, okay. Nick says we can't. So maybe everybody but Nick has wrong thoughts. And we have to have our thoughts corrected sometimes through the power of God's word. and bring it into alignment with him. So this morning, let's see what he has to say, because our thinking needs to be corrected from the red to the green. The church at Jerusalem's thoughts had to be corrected because they missed the point of what God was doing. And the first lesson we have is our thinking needs to be challenged so that we can accept God's purpose. When they came to Peter, when Peter got there, they said to him, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them." And that was what they criticized him on verse 2. That was what they shared. They could not see God's purpose. They could not accept God's purpose. And I ask you this morning, what is God's purpose for us? God's purpose is to restore the world to himself through Jesus Christ. His purpose is that all who will believe in him will be saved, because he is no respecter of persons. Amen? We learned that last week. And so his purpose is that whoever will would be saved. Not just the Jews, not just a certain group, but his purpose is he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Peter had to challenge their thinking, which was wrong here. And as we had seen last week, that he had called the apostle Paul, that Paul had to call Peter out because he was even going to struggle with this wrong thinking later. But because we can think, our tradition, we need to be challenged, because we can think our traditions are more important than people. And that's what was going on here with the church. They said to him, "Peter, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and you ate with them." Peter, you were wrong. You went and ate with those uncircumcised dogs. You went into their house. You had a meal with them. Peter, that was horrible. You know that's against our traditions. You can't do that. And their thinking was so wrong that their traditions were more important to them than people coming to salvation. They missed it. They missed the purpose of God. You think we can do that today in the church? You think we can get so caught up in our traditions that we miss and forget that there's people out there that need Jesus? And traditions are good. And the way we do things and the way we worship, and traditions are good. But you know, if that gets in the way of people coming to know Jesus, then our thinking is wrong, because they're not fulfilling his purpose. And what traditions is it that binds us that we don't want to get rid of because we love them, and we do, but aren't people more important? Our traditions can get in the way and keep us, and that was what was happening here. Also, we can think that the church is only for people just like us. And that's what the Jews thought. The Jewish believers who became Christians, when they were first saved, they were all Jewish. And they thought anybody even would have to be saved, they had to become Jewish first to then become a Christian. And the church was for people just like them. But we learned last week, God says, don't call anybody unclean that he's called clean. It's anyone is welcome to come, because God's salvation is for all, right? Not people just like us. We like to be with people just like us because we're comfortable there. And we're comfortable with people like us. But so God's salvation is for all. And sometimes our thinking needs to be changed. And that was what was happening here. Peter needed to remind them, it's not just for us. It's not just for people like us. Jesus came for the whole world. He came for whoever will. They had missed it. You would think that these were Christians now who had come to know Jesus as Messiah. You would have thought that they would have finally understood God's plan and purpose. that Jesus had come to bring salvation to the world, not just for the Jews, but for all people. And you think that they would have understood that. They knew Jesus as Messiah, Savior, but they still didn't quite get the purpose. And we're going to do a little Bible study here. So if you have your Bible, you're going to follow along with me. We're going to do a little Bible study here, what they should have known, because we're going to trace a little thing through the Old Testament, where God's purpose was seen from the very beginning with Israel, that salvation wasn't just meant to be for them, but Israel was to be a light, an example for the Gentiles too, that all who will may believe. So start with Genesis chapter 12. Go back in your Bible there. Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. It's always good to hear those pages turning with me out there. Now you're with me. Genesis chapter 3, this is God's promise when he had first called Abraham to be his. And he said he was going to found the nation. Chapter 12, verse 2. He said, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Notice he said from the very beginning, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. When God called Abraham, because it was going to be through Abraham that Jesus was going to come to bring salvation to all. That was the plan from the very beginning. Go to Psalm 22, verse 27. Psalm 22, 27. You see God's plan here revealed that they should have understood. And Psalm 22 is a psalm that's prophetic as well. It starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words that Jesus gave on the cross, it's words that refer directly to Jesus and talks about his crucifixion, about how they threw their insults on him and mocked him. But we get down to verse 27, it says, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. So it says even here, all the nations would bow before him, that it's not just for the Jews only. Go to Isaiah chapter 49, verse 6. Isaiah 49, 6. Isaiah the prophet speaking to his people about the coming of the Messiah and salvation through, and their role as the Jewish race. He says that, is it too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Israel? And I will bring back to those of Israel whom I kept, but I will also make you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. God said to his people, Israel, I have made you a light for the Gentiles to bring my people to salvation. They should have known, but their thinking got so distorted that they couldn't see God's purpose and plan. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 to 3, while we're still in Isaiah. Isaiah says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rests upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness over your peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. And again, in Jeremiah chapter 16, just go back. Isaiah, Jeremiah is the next book. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 19 and 21. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God said, O Lord, my strength and my fortress, my refuge in times of distress, to you the nations will come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers possessed nothing but false gods, worthless idols that did them no good. But therefore, verse 21, I will teach them, and this time I will teach them my power and might, that they may know that my name is the Lord. And the book of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 2, right before Malachi. Zechariah is right next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 11. Zechariah says, many nations will be joined with the Lord in that day and will become my people. And I will live among you, then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to Jerusalem. And then the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, just turn back one more. Matthew, and then turn back one. Malachi chapter 1, verse 11. Malachi says this. The Lord speaking his word through Malachi. My name will be great among the nations from the rising, the setting of the sun. Every place incense and pure offerings will be brought into my name, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. So we see it from the very beginning in Genesis, the first book in the Old Testament, all the way through the last book of the Old Testament. God's plan was that salvation was to be for all people, not just Israel. And you think that they would have understood that, but they missed it. Their thinking needed to be challenged so that they could accept what God's purpose was, that salvation wasn't just for them. And God needs to rely on our thinking as well. Whenever we have that attitude, that we want people just like us, but it's God saves, salvation is for all, because we can think that God can do things our way. Second, as our thinking needs to be changed so that we will fulfill God's plan. And Peter then went on and shared the story. Because his thinking needed to be challenged, he shared again what God had done. And he shared the whole story and account of how he was praying, and God had dropped the sheet down and said, don't call clean what I've unclean what I've called clean. And then how he went to Cornelius' house, and as he shared the gospel, he received the Holy Spirit. And Peter said, well, if he received the Holy Spirit the same as I, who am I to say that we can't include them? And he shared the whole account as we just read it. And it said when they heard this, they no longer had objections. And their thinking was changed. But so in order for us to fulfill God's plan, that salvation is not just for us, but it's for people who are different than us too. That sometimes we have to go across those boundaries that we don't like. Our thinking has to be changed to do that. And God changes our thinking. You say, well, Dan, how does that happen? Well, God changes our thinking when we seek his face. Look in verse 5. Verse 5, Peter says, he was in the city of Joppa and he was praying. In a trance, he saw the vision. Peter was praying. He was seeking God. And as he was seeking the Lord in prayer, the Lord then revealed this vision to him, that through it he had that was going to change his thinking. And when we are in those times where we are seeking God's face, and we are in prayer, we are in worship, we're seeking his word, we're seeking him, it's often those times that God will then change our thinking and bring us into alignment with him. And bring us to that point where we need to be so that we can fulfill his purpose for us and live in obedience. He also changes our thinking by making us feel uncomfortable. When he dropped that sheet down to Peter three times, the Lord said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And we saw last week his answer, I can't eat that. That's unclean. I can't do that. And God said, don't call unclean what I've called clean. And three times it happened. And the Lord had to make him uncomfortable, make him willing to go to the home of a Gentile, which he wouldn't have done on his own, in order for the plan to be accomplished. And sometimes God has to give us little nudges of the Spirit. And we might be reading, and his Spirit nudges us and say, Nick, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. And you need to change your thinking there, Nick. It's not what I want. And he'll do that and make us feel uncomfortable. It's one of the ways it happens. Where's those areas in your life we talked about last week where you don't like going, the things that really make you uncomfortable? And if God would call you there or lead you there, but putting us in those uncomfortable situations. I've been reading through the book of Nehemiah personally. And if you know the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king, he was a servant to the king of Persia. And he had received word that his hometown of Jerusalem was in ruins. It had been ransacked by the Babylonians, and God allowed that to happen because of their sin and disobedience. It was his judgment. It now was laying in ruins and desolate for over 40 years. People were returning back, but they didn't rebuild the walls. And the wall was in desolation. The city was in ruins. And word got back to Nehemiah about it. And Nehemiah says, when I heard it, the word and that message, I was grieved and deeply moved. And so much to the fact that he was uncomfortable with the situation, and he went to the king of Persia and he said, please give me permission to go back and to rebuild the wall. And it's those times when God makes us uncomfortable about something, by making a need known to us or a situation known to us that we wouldn't have been aware of, so that we will respond and put our thinking in line with his and take the action to fulfill his purpose and will. And that's what had to happen to Peter. If he wouldn't have got that vision from God, nudging him by the Spirit, he wouldn't have went to Cornelius' house. Salvation wouldn't have came to the Gentiles. We wouldn't be here today. But because he nudged him by the Spirit and he was accepting of that, God worked. He also changes our thinking by repeating the message until we get it. Because how many times did this sheet come down from heaven and go back up to earth? Three times. He dropped it once and told Peter, arise, kill and eat. And Peter said, no way. I can't eat that. I'm not touching it. That's unclean animals. I can't eat that. If God would have done it the first time and took it back up to heaven and not sent it two more times, you think Peter would have got the message? You know, because it says he dropped it the second time, and the voice said the same thing, arise, Peter, kill and eat. Peter says, well, I can't eat that. God had to keep repeating it until he got it, because Peter was so dense sometimes. Isn't it with us sometimes? God will have to keep repeating the message, boom, 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 hitting us over the top of the head till we finally sinks in, Lord, I get what you want me to do now. And that's why it's repeated here in Acts chapter 11, so that the church wasn't getting the message that salvation was for anybody, not just them. And so the story had to be repeated. God had to keep sharing it again until we get it. Look with me an example. Go to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. And this is a quote. First, God first said this in Psalm chapter 95, verse 7. In 95, verse 7, God first gave that message. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. And he spoke that as a warning to the nation of Israel, reminding them of how when they were in the wilderness, they hardened their heart, and many of them didn't get to enter the promised land. And they rebelled against God. But go to Hebrews chapter 3. Verse 7, it says, so as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years they saw what I did. So verse 7, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Go down to verse 15. What's he say in verse 15? As it has just been said, what? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Go to chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, God set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time later he spoke through David, as was said before, what? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. You think the church, the Hebrew believers were having a hard time understanding that? That God had to keep saying, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Three times he said it there within almost one chapter. He had to keep repeating it till they finally got it. And sometimes God has to do that with us. What is he saying to you that he wants you to know and to do? He changes our thinking by repeating the message until we finally, yeah, I get it now. Because I see what happened at the end of this account, chapter 11, verse 18. After Peter shared the account of what had happened and how God, Peter said, if they received the same Holy Spirit as us, who was I to oppose God? When it says, when they heard this, they had no further objections, but praised God and saying, God has granted even the Gentiles repentance. They finally got it. as Peter repeated to them till they understood. He changed their thinking through the message. God also changes our thinking by leading us to align with his word. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? How are we transformed? By the renewing of our mind. And how is our mind renewed? By bringing into alliance and alignment with God's word, so that our thoughts become the same as his. So that what he says in his word becomes what we think and becomes our mindset. And that happens when we align with his truth. And how did that happen for Peter? Verse 9, when the Lord spoke to him and said, don't call anything impure what God has called clean. And then go down to verse 16, when he said, I remembered what the Lord had said. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he remembered the word of God, and he brought his thinking in alignment with God's truth. And that changed his thinking, which changed his behavior and changed his attitude towards the Gentiles. And that's the same for us, that our thinking changes when we align it with his word. And God changes our thinking by reminding us of his sovereign plan. And his sovereign plan all along was for whoever will to be saved. And in verse 18, it says, when they heard this, they had no other objections but praised God and said, God has granted even salvation to the Gentiles' repentance of life. And their thinking changed. In the beginning, they said, how could you go into a Gentile's home and eat with them? By the end of this, they said, well, God even accepted them. And their thinking changed when they realized that God's purpose was being fulfilled and they were a part of it. So the question for you and I this morning is, how has God challenged your thinking? Where is your thinking need to be challenged yet that's not out of line with his truth? What thoughts do you have, are you having maybe towards others, or that is not in agreement and alignment with his word? And where does your thinking need to change? How does your thinking need to change? Where does it need to change in your life so that you and I can fulfill his purpose for us? And that is to be his witnesses in a world around us to show his love. This wasn't going to be the end of this. We're going to see as this continues on that there's still going to be a struggle within the church of the church, Jewish church accepting the Gentiles. And they're still going to try to make them Jewish. But it was the beginning of the process of God working in their life. Because our thinking needs to be changed and realize that there's one God, one body, one spirit, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. And our Lord is not a respecter of persons. So we're told that we have to have the same mindset of Christ. So ask the Lord this morning to reveal to you through his spirit, where, Lord, does my mind need to change? Where are my traditions more important to me than people? Or is your purpose and plan for me what you want me to do? Let us pray together. Father, we thank you that you are a God who cares deeply for us. And sometimes you just have to repeat and tell us something over again because we just don't always grasp it. And that's what was the case here in the church. They didn't fully grasp your plan and their tradition and their personal preferences and feelings got in the way were more important for them than people coming to you. Now, Lord, forgive us for those times in our life that we can do that. That our traditions and preferences and what we like can become more important to us than people who are lost and need to come to salvation. And Lord, may we be willing to lay those things down in order for people to come to you. Even if it makes us uncomfortable, because Lord, it's in those things of uncomfortableness that you change our thinking to be in alignment with your word and your plan and purpose for us. So we thank you, Lord, that salvation is meant for all people, not just a few. That you came into your own, but then you also came for the whole world. And whoever will may believe in you. And we thank you, Lord, that Cornelius responded and that Peter when you changed his heart and changed his thinking, was obedient and went and shared the truth with him. And we are here today as a result of that. And so, Lord, show us those areas in our life where our thinking needs to change, and the people that we learned sweet last week are unclean to us or untouchable to us, the people we want to avoid. Who are those people, Lord, you may be calling us to go to, that you need to change our attitude and our thoughts towards in order that your love may be shared with them. So, Lord, continue to show us that. Continue to speak to us in that as you shared last week and as you continue to repeat this week what you want us to do. And, Lord, keep repeating it through your Spirit until it finally sinks in and our attitude and our hearts change to become the mind of God, and that we share your heart for a broken world that so desperately needs you. So thank you, Lord, for your love and for your grace, for your word as it applies to our life. May we hear, receive, and live your word. May we be willing to have our hearts changed and our thoughts brought into alignment with your truth, through Jesus Christ, in whom we pray. Amen.